Rory McKiernan is a campaigner, social entrepreneur and public speaker. He's a presidential appointee to the Council of State, and he founded youth advocacy group SpunOut.ie in 2004. He's helped establish civic action community Uplift and also Gaelic Voices for Change, which was a group of past and present inter-county GAA players focused on social issues. He hosts the Love and Courage podcast, and he was also voted by Ashoka Ireland as one of the 10 people in Ireland championing social change. And that was featured in the Sunday Times newspaper. A number of amazing people, including Father Peter McVerry, Anna Cosgrave, Millie Melange, were also selected to that for that honour. So we're absolutely thrilled and delighted that he's able to join us on Northside today. Welcome to the show, Rory.
Thanks very much, Norma. Pleasure to be on.
So how are you this morning?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty good. Just battling through January a little bit, like a lot of people. I found the last week or two with the weather was a little bit challenging, but I've learned a lot about mental health and things like that through my work over the years, and I know how to manage myself a wee bit better and not to go too much into a dark cave, if you know what I mean.
And, well, then that's something definitely can be challenging at this time of year, particularly in Ireland where we don't have the best weather.
No, we don't. I think we should have a state-sponsored scheme where we fly people out to Portugal for a week in the winter, or the Canaries or somewhere, give them a top-up of sunshine, and it'll probably save the health service hundreds of millions of euro. What do you think?
I think it's great. I hope this is going to be something on one of your campaigns for 2018. I'm definitely behind
We'll see. There probably is an economic argument for it. I know myself, I don't get away too much, but when I do get some sunshine, Jesus, the health benefits are amazing. And you definitely do feel the benefits. And I do think a lot of the health service is under strain from colds and flus and people's immune system, so there is something to look at there. But obviously we are where we are, and we live in a cold country, so there's certain things we can do, just I think, to mitigate and look after ourselves better. And for me, one of those things is to try and get out for a walk when there is a bit of daylight or sunshine, you know, and grab it while you can.
Absolutely. And one thing, actually, I found I was vitamin D deficient, and what my doctor told me was that she believed that everybody in Ireland from October through to May, everyone should be taking vitamin D, because it's not possible to get enough, and it can highly contribute to seasonally affected disorder and your general well-being.
Yeah. I'm no doctor or health expert, but I have learned to be more responsible over the years in terms of looking after my own health. I grew up with a lot of asthma and colds and flus and things like that. And in recent years, I kind of realised that there's an element of personal responsibility there. So when winter comes, I kind of stock up on foods and things that help boost the immune system. And that includes cutting down on booze and things like that as well. So it is all important, and I know we're talking about community stuff and campaigning and things, but for me they're actually interrelated, and I think you have to kind of be in good health, or as good a health as you can be, in order to be out there making change in the world and being as active as you can be. So they are quite connected.
And let's absolutely, and to talk about some of the amazing things you've been involved with. One of those that I mentioned in the introduction was Gaelic Voices for Change. Tell us a bit about that initiative.
So I've been doing a little bit of work with the Gaelic Players Association, which represents inter-county football and hurlers over the last few years. And one of the things we started to look at was how players can make more of a difference off the field. Obviously, they're all unpaid volunteers, community champions, doing great, amazing service and things for their individual counties. But a lot of them are also role models and social leaders. And we wanted to see how that could be supported. And so basically got a group of players together, those that were already interested. And a lot of them were already doing great work. And, you know, a lot of players and teams visit sick kids in hospitals. Some of them go out to refugee camps. There's a whole variety of things going on. So we held a meeting there around last September. And one of the issues that the group identified was homelessness. And I basically worked with them to develop then what became the Solidarity Sleepout, which we held on the 16th of December. And what that was a 12-hour sleepout in 13 towns and cities in Ireland, all across Ireland, but also in New York and Times Square, Boston and in Quebec in Canada. And the idea was to sleep out in solidarity with not just homeless people that are on the streets, but homeless people that are stuck in hotels, B&Bs, and these new family hubs, which I'd be very concerned about, are going to become, you know, like new direct provision centres in a way. And the idea was to shine a light on the crisis, to call for change, to call for everybody to get involved and help highlight and change the situation, and also to raise some funds. And the initiative just blew up, and it was an overwhelming success. And, you know, it was on the 6 and 9 o'clock news and RT and all the newspapers, and got the nation talking. And it also raised €250,000 for various charities such as the McVerry Trust, Simon, and DePaul and Focus Ireland and so on.
An absolutely amazing work that you did there. And tell me, because, I mean, some people would say, well, housing and homelessness, that's something that the government should be dealing with, you know, not necessarily something that GAA players should be looking at. But it seems that in today's society that, you know, there are kind of gaps or cracks where we do need to have community action, and certainly you've championed very much a DIY and a grassroots approach to people enacting social change, like in this example.
Yeah, well, we're talking on a radio station right now. People are listening to Near FM, which was started by community volunteers, and most things in our country, schools, football clubs, health centres, hospitals, you name it, were actually started either because people campaigned for them or because people got together and actually went and set the thing up in the first place. And so, like, we can kind of call on the government and blame the government for lots of things, but there also is a responsibility and an onus on individuals and groups to come together and say, well, if no one else is doing it, then let's do it ourselves. And you see all these gaps, and whether it be litter on the street or any other thing, it's very easy to wait for someone else to come along and fix it. But there is so much we can do. Now, I don't want to take away from the role of the state, and I believe the state should be a core provider in the areas of housing and health and things like that. And I don't think it should be allowed to wash its hands of it. So I think we should hold the state to account and campaign for change, and particularly in the area of social housing. And, you know, obviously individuals can't necessarily go out and build houses tomorrow and solve the homelessness crisis. So I think the state really needs to get its act together, and that really involves individual TDs highlighting the issue, and there are plenty of them in the north side. And us as voters have an onus to hold them to account for what they promised when we voted for them, but also hold them to account for the salaries that they earn, which is 90,000 a year thereabouts. And whether it be Finian McGrath or Richard Bruton or any other TD, that, like, any of us can email them today, lift the phone, visit their clinic, and just tell them these are the issues that we are concerned about, and we're not just asking for change, we're demanding change. But at the same time, we're getting involved in our own groups, whether it be sports or youth or whatever it is that our particular interests might be. I do think it's important for people to get stuck in.
And I guess it's healthy for democracy as well to have a nation of engaged citizens who are really thinking about what's going on in society and having opinions and making their voices heard.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, if we leave it up to the powers that be, so to speak, then really ultimately that's wide open to abuses of power. And that's what we've seen in the history of this country, where people have been given the responsibility or the sole responsibility to do things, and they've abused that power. So a really healthy democracy requires all of us to be involved in an ecosystem of change, and that can be at very different levels. It might just an hour a week that we're involved in, but it could be as simple as I said, phoning the TD or emailing the TD, or it could be getting involved in a political party or a campaign group or a community group. I just think it is, and the other thing is that it's not just about altruism and giving back and things. It's actually very beneficial also to your well-being and to your mental health. There's a great sense of fulfillment, and the the gifts that it can give you back are quite priceless in terms of the people that you will meet, the skills that you will learn, and the opportunities that it will give you. And so I often say that I don't really necessarily believe in the idea of giving back, because you're receiving at the same time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on that. And, you know, it's amazing for people, the sense of fulfilment that they get when they're involved in initiatives. You talked about social housing. What other issues do you see, Rory, as being really important and significant issues that citizens should be taking a stand on?
Yeah, well, I saw a poll in one of the Sunday newspapers about what people are saying in terms of the top issues for government and for probably an upcoming election. And the two were housing and health, and I was delighted to see them there. And I think they really are the fundamentals for a healthy, strong society. If you don't have adequate housing and adequate health system, then you're in big trouble. And this country, we've really neglected those, and we've allowed parties and politicians and policies to neglect those. So I do think they are probably the top two issues. But there are so many issues. I've touched on mental health a couple of times, suicide, the responsibility to look after ourselves, but also each other. And that would be a big one. The environmental crisis is a huge one. Like, you know, there's a saying that there'll be no jobs in the dead planet. So we have people like Trump and others that talk about jobs before the planet and jobs before the environment. But it's a no-brainer, because ultimately the word economics comes from the word ecology. And if we don't start looking after the planet and stop abusing it, then we're in big trouble economically anyway. And then the other big one, I think, that really concerns me is the rise of really what is hatred and division and quite frankly, racism, where as a country who grew up with people fleeing all over the world, fleeing injustice, fleeing poverty and oppression, now we still are one of the richest countries in the world, and we've had millions of people having to flee Syria and many other countries. And I think it's important that we do our bit to welcome people and to not fall into some of the darker rhetoric that's going on in the world today, to open our hearts and to open our country. And I'm not saying open borders and things like that, but I am saying that it is important to have more compassion and to not buy in a lot of the fear-mongering that's going on, which is ultimately designed to distract attention from where the real problems lie, which for me is about inequality and where how money is flowing up the food chain to the likes of Trump and the people that he works with, who ultimately he claims to be for the working man and the working class. But if you look at his cabinet, they're all billionaires, and the tax breaks that he gives are not for the working man. They're for the billionaire class, and I think there are similar issues in Ireland. So I think we need to keep our eye on the ball here and not to fall for some of the division tactics that are going on.
And we're going to be talking about some of those environmental concerns at 12:30. I'm going to be joined on the show by Eamon Ryan, leader of the Green Party, to talk about some of those very issues. And actually, in the Journal this morning, there was a report that shows that the inequity, well, it's actually because obviously Davos is going on at the moment, and the gap between the top 1% and the rest of the world is greater than it has ever been.
Yeah, what you had is, the parallels have been raised before, but if you look at the 1930s, there were very similar issues. There was a lot of inequality and a lot of fear of the future. And what you had is a bunch of people and parties came together and started to kind of blaming minorities and blaming the Jews and so on. And now we have a very similar thing where we want to blame Muslim people and, you know, the vast, vast majority of Muslims, in the same way the vast majority of Christians are very peaceful, loving people. And it's a tiny minority that causes problems in the world, the same it is for any other religion. And really, like the bigger issues that are going on, and the exploitation of the planet, the exploitation of finances, of resources, of banking. And I think, like, the Davos stuff and the inequalities that are going on there, like, you have Oxfam had a report several years ago where I think it was something like the what it would take to fill a double-decker bus, I think it was 60 or 70 people, control half the wealth of the world. And that's going on in our own country as well, where you have, like, handfuls of people that control vast amounts of wealth in the country. And You see like deprivation in our own city in Dublin, and then you have other people living like Hollywood lifestyles on the other end of town. And I'm not saying that people don't have the right to do well for themselves. Of course they do when they work hard and take risks. But there is something to be said for a more equal society where we share our resources. But that ultimately comes down to the voter. It comes down to the average citizen to demand that kind of change and to demand a more equal share of the pie and to not fall into that trap of divide and rule.
But, and of course, some of the people doing very well are also themselves philanthropists and do support lots of great causes too. And so just to finish up, Rory, I know you do unbelievable work championing social change, but you, and also in terms of giving inspiration to people, you run a podcast called Love and Courage. Tell us about what that podcast is.
Yeah, so I kind of felt for a long time that I really enjoyed longer form interviews on the radio, you know, where you get a good half hour or at least or 1 hour with an inspirational individual. And I'm fortunate that I meet a lot of those types of people in my life. So I decided podcasting was a great, the same way Near FM was set up. It's a kind of a DIY media, community media. So it's my podcast on most smartphones. If you're on an iPhone, there's a podcast app, or if you're on another smartphone, you go to the Play Store, download a podcast app, and you'll find mine. It's called Love and Courage, and it's also on YouTube and SoundCloud and things like that. But basically, just 1 hour interviews with all sorts of inspirational people. Sunny Jacobs, a woman who was on death row, falsely convicted in prison in the US, and now spreads a message of forgiveness. Ivor Brown, the renowned psychiatrist, who's now retired, speaking about his own journey and around mental health. Senator Francis Black, and all sorts of interesting people that I've been fortunate to spend time with and interview and listen to. So, really have enjoyed that. And I suppose, you know, it's all about learning for me. I don't have it all figured out by any means. So I think just trying to listen and learn and educate myself is really important. And the internet and podcasting and things like that have allowed me to do that in so many ways, and very grateful for that.
Well, those are some really great principles to adhere to. And you yourself are a very inspirational person, as along with all the other great people that you interview on your podcast. So listen, thank you so much for joining us today, Rory.
Absolute pleasure, and thank you, and thanks to everyone listening, because I mean, I want to just make one comment, if you don't mind, is that we talk about inspirational people, but I actually get most of my inspiration from people that never win awards or people that we'll never hear of, and they can be home health people or carers or our mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, just people that are doing everyday acts of courage. And no doubt loads of them are listening to your show right now, and I think they're the real champions in the community.
Well said. Listen, thanks so much, Rory, and we'll talk to you again.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.